Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Whatever about who gets what vaccine and when, there's been precious little discussion around the mechanics of opening things back up again. Many countries are looking at the issue of some sort of vaccine passport, which would enable the holders to do things such as go on planes or into restaurants. We're joined on News Talk by Mark McGowan, President of the Restaurants Association of Ireland. Mark, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Now, as I understand it, this is something you've been talking about just in the last few days.
Yes, we actually had a council meeting today on a couple of issues that popped up surrounding a vaccination passport. I suppose we're not fully aware. It is something that we should explore, but I'm sure there are legislative issues around it, along with all kinds of other issues, like it could be on grounds of discrimination if somebody couldn't have a vaccination on health grounds, as an example. So there's a myriad of issues that need to be explored before we consider it.
Right. Okay. Though in principle, would your members be? What is your sense? Would your members be against it or for it?
But I think our members at this stage are that frustrated, Sean, that we'll do anything to try and get our doors open safely. And when I mean safely, it's making sure that our 180,000 workforce are going to be not in a vulnerable position. So, like, is it a case that the vaccinated can transmit the virus? That's another thing that we're not fully aware of yet. So, I'm sure that we would be for it, so long as our workforce were vaccinated as well. So there's another issue that would have to be sorted, is that our workforce is fully vaccinated before this was to go ahead.
Right. And now, part of the in the UK, there are various doubts around it. One being that would kind of totally rule out the possibility, and come the happy day when we can, you know, stroll around the streets, that you wouldn't get drop-in business, that people would have to come prepared.
Yeah, I suppose they'd have to come prepared. That is an issue. We had dealt with that during the previous lockdown. Obviously, it was booking only. So I presume as the vaccine rollout continues, that scenario will continue for us as well, in terms of how we take our reservations and how we conduct our business. A vaccination passport, though, could be an answer in terms of, I was listening about the digital green certificate proposed by the EU. Again, not everybody is digital friendly. They may not have smartphones, so that's another discriminatory problem we may have. So, but it's an idea worth exploring, I think.
Right. Okay. Plus, also, I suppose there'd have to be, legally speaking, all restaurants, I assume, are legally allowed to just not to bar admittance to people if for whatever reason. Would that be the case?
I think we need a legal representative to tell us the full implications of that. But as far as I'm aware, there'll be huge legislative issues surrounding this. So there'll be a lot of legislation involved in overcoming this. I don't think we can ask people for anything got to do with their health.
Right.
It's
yes.
Illegal.
I'm just wondering, like, if somebody just doesn't, you know, all things being equal, but if you have a table of four and three of them turn up with the passport, but one of them's forgotten it, what do you do in that instance?
I can imagine the problems that would pose on the day as well. So that's a logistics issue as well, I suppose, that we could come up against.
Yeah. And now, of course, like last summer, people had to book in advance. Now, obviously, it wasn't a normal situation. But, you know, for that relatively brief period, did your members, generally speaking, were they able to make a living?
Yes, I think that it was a period of time there through the summer months that we done quite well. But the only issue really was the likes of the curfew. We had to close at 10:30 in the evening. That moved on till 11:00. So we weren't necessarily getting a third sitting. Walk-in traffic for the city centre was very, very important. I think some suburban areas did different. So it wasn't exactly balanced. Some places did well, some places did not do so well. So that's obviously why the supports came so important. The likes of the CRISC scheme, the likes of the EWSS, everything else. So, I mean, that's the same with the digital certificate. We'd be able to roll this out so long as all those supports are in place, but obviously we'd have to get over all the hurdles involved first.
Yeah, indeed. And presumably it would involve hiring one or two extra staff, because you'd need a permanent door presence.
Absolutely. We'd need to have one, maybe two door staff involved to manage, obviously, crowd control as well, especially in a COVID environment. If you have a crowd of people building up at a door and everybody has to be asked these extra questions when coming for a meal, obviously it's going to pose a bit of an issue, and it's going to involve more labour.
Right. Okay. And so far, at least, any contact from the government or any government representatives to your organization?
Not just yet in regards to a passport system. Not to my understanding, it hasn't happened just yet. It's only at the beginning stages, if there is any. And I suppose it's going to come down from EU as well, EU level as well, I'd imagine.
Right, okay. Well, there may be two forms of it. It might turn out that way, but well, I suppose that remains to be seen. Mark, thanks very much for speaking with us today, and best of luck with that. That's Mark McGowan there, president of the Restaurants Association of Ireland. So to kind of maybe tease out the constitutional aspects of this, we're also joined on News Talk by Trinity Law Professor Ivana Bacik. Ivana, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Now, as Mark McGowan just said, that it's probably not within the legal power of a restaurant owner to ask someone about private medical matters. Would, you know, having been vaccinated come under that?
Well, I mean, I listened to the interview with Mark, and I think he very sensibly expressed concerns about how a vaccine passport or a digital pass, or, you know, whatever you'd like to call it, how that might operate in the context of his members and restaurants. And I think he's right to be cautious. I suppose the conversation is at a very early stage on this. And, you know, I looked at the Taoiseach's comments, and I mean, obviously the government will speak for themselves. I can't speak for them. But it seems to me it is good that we're having the discussion now, I think, because but clearly it is a matter for much further down the road. I mean, the idea that a vaccine pass would be introduced at such an early stage, when we've such a small proportion of our population vaccinated, I think would be deeply problematic, because straight away you'd have issues around indirect discrimination. For example, you know, very few people under a certain age have been vaccinated to date, and so it would be indirectly discriminatory on grounds of age, if nothing else. So I think the reality is this is something that is in contemplation for a later stage, probably during the summer, when a higher proportion of the population are vaccinated. And as you said, Sean, earlier, it's been considered in two ways. One, at EU level, where there's conversation ongoing about the possibility of introducing some form of vaccination pass to enable travel between EU countries. That's foreign travel. But there's a second conversation then about whether a sort of vaccine pass can be used internally within Ireland, or indeed within any other country, to enable people to have access to certain events, for example, concerts or matches, you know, where you would have crowds gathering and where you would have otherwise, I think, a risk of serious spreading. So, you know, in Denmark, the conversation's at a more advanced level. They're introducing a pass like this. In Greece and Cyprus and Israel, they're already doing a deal among them. So, you know, this is something that's going on everywhere. I suppose what I would say, Sean, is, you know, in terms of just the restaurant issue, you know, I suppose it depends how you frame it. At the moment, if we, you know, or I should say before, when we were able to access restaurants, but now if we want to access services that are still open, like dental services, for example, we do already have to book in advance, of course. And when we're booking, say, you know, most places require a checklist. I have no COVID symptoms. I haven't traveled to any high-risk country and so on. So I would anticipate what might come into place here would be much less sweeping than a certificate or a passport, and it might be more like a checklist like that would be done when you book your meal or your dental appointment, and that it would then enable you to go to enter. And I suppose the other thing to say is that we do already have, you know, there is already worldwide an established system of passes for vaccination. For example, many African countries require proof of vaccination against yellow fever for any traveller going into those countries. So, you know, I suppose here in Ireland and in Europe, we're not used to this because we haven't had such a terrible pandemic since, you know, the Spanish flu nearly 100 years ago. So we're not used to this. But in fact, it may become the norm that some form of you know, proof that you have a vaccination may become necessary for some things. But I think, you know, the warning is it would have to be introduced in a way that is proportionate to public health measures, and we have to ensure that it wasn't discriminatory and that it was justified by science and by public health.
Right. OK. And who decides what's proportional?
Well, ultimately, the courts do under the Constitution. I mean, you asked me what's constitutional. You know, we as legislators have already passed, I mean, perhaps people were now forgetting that over the last year, we in the Oireachtas have passed legislation that would be unthinkable in any normal times. We have imposed draconian measures. People, all of us, have been living within our 5K limits for now over 4 months. For the best part of a year, we've been subject to severe restrictions. Business owners and restaurant owners and concert promoters and everyone involved in tourism and hospitality has lost their livelihoods in most cases. So, you know, let's not forget that we're already living under an unprecedented system of restrictions on our public. And we've brought in legislation that would be desperately disproportionate in a normal time. And yet in a time of such severe public health threat as COVID-19 poses, it is proportionate. Now, at every stage, we scrutinise the legislation that we're asked to pass, certainly those of us in opposition, of course. And the government too have to be mindful of constitutional requirements. But ultimately, you know, if it's challenged, and I know there is a challenge ongoing in such as some aspect of government power currently, if it's challenged, it is up to the courts to determine. But they will have due deference to the legislature and the executive government, because clearly, you know, legislators and government have to look at all of the evidence before them when they're passing legislation, particularly in this unprecedented time.
Yeah, I can imagine people listening to to us though, Ivana, going, oh, come on, just give me the injection and give me, oh, I'm happy enough for the vaccine passport. There's no way of making a move like that, if you like, legally bulletproof against someone taking a constitutional challenge to it.
Well, everyone has a right to take a challenge. Obviously, you know, there has to be some sort of grounds for it. You know, otherwise it won't go very far. But I think the reality is a court, just like a legislator, will look at the nature of the restriction, or the nature in this case of the proposal for a vaccine pass, and look at the public health threat. And, you know, when we have seen thousands of our citizens die, so many people suffering ongoing effects of long COVID, I think the courts will be very mindful that, you know, that powers and measures that would be seen as unthinkable in normal times are now proportionate to the immense and terrible threat of COVID that it continues to pose. And particularly, Sean, I suppose, with the advent of the new variants. I mean, I think in the last couple of months, we've really seen our understanding of COVID change. We now know that there are variants that are much more sinister, that are much more easily transmissible, and that therefore require, you know, different measures. And I think, as you say, for a lot of people listening to this, especially for somebody who's lost, people who've lost friends or family through COVID, they'll be saying, just get the vaccines out as fast as you can, and then we can have vaccine passes and open up. And let's not forget, already people who in Ireland who are fully vaccinated are already being offered extra freedom. So if you like, that's another way of understanding it. If you are somebody who has been, you know, who has had your two jabs and you've 2 weeks after the second, you may now meet another person who's similarly vaccinated in your own home from next month. I think that's already rolled out for the government. So I think the idea that people who've been fully vaccinated, you know, there would be some, if you like, vaccine benefit or vaccine dividend. I think that's fair enough. I think, again, it has to be proportionate, and you have to be careful that you're not discriminating against the large portion of the population that has not yet been vaccinated. But as vaccines roll out, and hopefully, certainly by the end of June, we'll see such a, you know, a much bigger proportion of the population vaccinated. And at that point, I think the conversation about a pass of some sort, or a, you know, proof of vaccination, that will become a much more pressing conversation. But we do need to be mindful of proportionality and ensure that people, for instance, aren't denied access to essential services and so on. So, you know, we haven't made vaccination mandatory, even in particular frontline healthcare jobs. But, you know, we are rolling it out, or the country is seeing it rolled out, on the basis of people's goodwill. And really, the evidence is everyone's desperate to get their jab, you know, and that's positive that we have such enthusiasm for getting the vaccine. My own mother, you know, recently got her first jab, and really just the delight and joy of so many of her age cohort, you know, as they have lined up to get their vaccines. It's been really positive to see that.
Yeah. Ivana, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Trinity Law Professor and Labour Senator, of course, Ivana Bacic.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.